Using a Wi-Fi-enabled microcontroller that's the size of a matchbook, we can attach sensors and gather information about the world around us. We can then take that data and publish that up into cloud services for either online archival, real-time analytics, building predictive models, or using visualization software to create new insights into the data that we're gathering. We're going to show you exactly how to do that using the Particle Photon and the Microsoft Azure Cloud. We're going to do this using a project known as the Internet of Trees, which you can see is solar powered and taking a reading right now as we speak. My name is Paul DiCarlo, and this is The Maker Show.
Hello, makers. Welcome to this edition of The Maker Show. My name is Paul DiCarlo, and I'll be your host for today's episode, where we will be discussing connecting particle photon devices to cloud services. You can feel free to follow along with any of the content in this presentation by downloading a copy of the deck for yourself at aka.ms/particle-cloud-services. So we'll be covering a variety of different topics in today's video. We're going to introduce the particle platform and series of devices that will be used to enable an IoT scenario that's going to connect our particle photon device up to the Microsoft Azure Cloud. We'll specifically be looking at a project known as the Internet of Trees, which uses this particle photon device to connect into an Azure mobile app service using something called the Mobile App Service Easy Tables. And what this is in a nutshell is a simple one-click deploy scalable database that lives up in the Microsoft Azure Cloud that we can then take in just a few clicks. We can import it into Microsoft's Power BI service, or we can create custom visualizations and learn and make new insights from that data without having to write a single line of code. So Particle are the manufacturers of some Wi-Fi and GSM-enabled microcontrollers. These devices are great for any IoT projects that you might be working on. I found them to be extremely resilient, having ran one device now for almost an entire year without any issues in downtime, except for the one time I cut the Comcast line in the backyard with a shovel. But that is not the fault of the Particle device. However, if you'd like to learn more about Particle, you can visit their webpage at particle.io. And you'll see they build a number of products that really enable Internet of Things scenarios. It's kind of what they're good at. They have this whole back end for management of their devices, as well as a cloud IDE that we'll be exploring later on that lets you program their devices remotely. So you can see here in their store, they offer a variety of different devices. For example, the one we'll be looking at today, the Photon, which is only $19, gives you a Wi-Fi on a microcontroller programmable through their IDE. Similarly, if you need something on the go, you can take a look at their Electron, which works anywhere that 3G signal is available, and for only $69. So you can get an Internet of Things connected device out somewhere in the wild where there might not even be Wi-Fi. So really amazing stuff that they built here. If this is your first time looking at particle devices, I'm going to kind of assume that you have some background familiarity. We're going to go through the whole claiming and programming of the device very, very quickly. But if you'd like to go into more detail and learn some of the background on getting started, you can take a look at previous episodes of The Maker Show, particularly episode 7, where Nick Landry walks through in The Photon Awakens how to configure your device, set it up, and do that initial programming. Alternatively, if you'd like to learn a little bit more, you can check out the Particle Photon Weather Station Hands-On Lab Series from Brett Statham, which will show you how to take an off-the-shelf DHT11 sensor and get your particle photon device connected up to Azure Event Hubs. It's a really, really awesome content and a great place to get started with if this is your first time dealing with those particle devices. So let's take a look at an existing project that was built with Particle. We're going to refer to this as the Internet of Trees. This is actually a product that I built for my own backyard so that I could monitor the soil saturation levels, the moisture level, if you will, in the ground that these trees are buried in. So you'll kind of see I've got these sensors buried in the dirt here that run underground. They're actually buried under the line and run into this junction connection at this box where you'll see the particle photon And you'll see this giant solar panel here that is used to both recharge the battery and power the device. So if you click on this link here to go to aka.ms/internetoftrees, this will bring you to the Hackster.io project page for the Internet of Trees project. And just like to take a point to highlight, if you're not familiar with Hackster.io, this is a great website that organizes projects built by makers in the community by platform. So you can kind of come in here and notice some familiar platforms like Raspberry Pi, If This Then That, and Arduino. And if you're a maker yourself, this is a great place to showcase what you've created for others so that they might be able to remix or rebuild or even improve upon your original design. So taking a look at this project, it's really simple. It's comprised of a particle photon, a SparkFun weather shield, 6 soil saturation sensors, the solar panel, and a backup LiPo battery. So you can kind of see here, this is what it looks like at night when it's taking the readings. Those soil saturation sensors actually light up. And you can see here, this is the 6 trees that we're monitoring with that buried line that I discussed on the previous slide. Interesting to note, if you paid attention in the beginning of the video, these trees are now flourishing. So it's pretty cool to think that this project that I built has actually helped me in assisting making sure that my water levels aren't too high or too low for my plants, because I do a lot of traveling on the road. And what's really cool, I can see at a glance what that moisture level is. And I've also got this connected to a Wi-Fi controlled sprinkler system. So I can actually kick off the sprinkler or even turn it off if I'm on the road and notice that there's some sort of a discrepancy in these readings. So it's really cool to have that information on hand. While the focus of this video is on connecting particle devices to the cloud, I'm going to talk really, really quick about the schematic. Although if you want to go into detail with that, I would recommend reading this article in full. Although we're not going to look at that in too much detail. However, the quick version of it, and it is actually rather simple in its design, is it's a particle photon connected up to that solar panel, which is connected to a battery. So if there's excess sunlight, it'll use that to charge the battery. And similarly, if it's a cloudy day, the device will be powered off of energy directly from the battery that it has stored up. The photon is then attached into a SparkFun weather shield, and this gives us the ability to read our temperature and pressure readings from the device. So I can have a little bit of information about, you know, am I getting little water and is it hot outside, that sort of thing. I can get that information directly from that device. In addition, we have 6 soil monitor sensors here. These are the devices that actually read the soil saturation level from the device. Now, the interesting part about this that we're going to discuss in full detail is how this connects up into the cloud. So how am I storing this data? And then how am I actually visualizing this and seeing it? And we'll walk through creating that from start to finish. And what we're going to use to do that is something called the Azure Mobile App Service. So this is part of the Azure App Service, which you can learn more about at the link below. And this essentially gives us a very small, easy to configure service that can allow for a client to connect through an optional REST API and give direct connection for storing data up into the cloud, which could be protected by authentication mechanisms from popular providers such as Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, Google, and Active Directory. In addition, I can register mobile devices to receive push notifications. And all of this, as you're going to see when we set this up, can be done with just a few clicks and some configuration. Very, very simple. So I'm going to get this whole backend deployed really without having to write any code or any connectivity logic or anything like that. I'm just going to go into the Microsoft Azure platform and spin this up in just a few minutes. If you're curious about learning more about Azure Mobile Apps, you can look at the official documentation here. Essentially, what we're going to be doing is building our own, and we're going to employ a functionality called Easy Tables that allows us to very easily have some place to take our data from our client and store it up into the cloud. So with that said, let's go ahead and get started. First thing I'm going to do is head on over to my Microsoft Azure account. So you can go here by visiting azure.com and click on the portal link in the upper right-hand corner. So first thing we'll do is click on the New button. And this will launch up an ability to select from various different services that I'd like to deploy into my Azure account. So once I've clicked here, you'll see a marketplace of different offerings will load up, various different things like the ability to deploy, say, websites, virtual machines, even Internet of Things services like the recently announced IoT hubs. Well, what we're going to be looking at specifically is under the Web Plus Mobile section. So I'll click that. Once expanded, we can click down here for Mobile App. And we're just going to give us a few values to configure it. So we're going to go ahead and give the app a name. So I'm going to name this Internet of Trees. And we'll go ahead and assign this to a new resource group called Internet of Trees. And this resource group, if you want to think about it, is a collection of the resources that kind of comprise your solution. So I might have like a web front end and a database in the same resource group. I'm now going to create an app service plan. So clicking here, I'm going to select Create New. And this is going to determine where my resources are located. So you'll see my app service plan. Again, I'm going to name this Internet of Trees just to keep everything simple and organized. And you'll see I can choose the location right here. And I'm going to go with South Central US since that's closest to me here in Houston, Texas. So go ahead and click OK. And that's really about it. I'm going to select the pin to dashboard. So this will appear on my dashboard page and we'll click create. So you'll see the deployment is now kicking off and I'm now on my dashboard and we can see that progress as it's completing on our dashboard here. So we'll just wait a few moments for that to complete. And there we have it. Our deployment has succeeded, and you'll see we are now being launched into that Internet of Trees mobile app interface. So here I can see some quick statistics about the deployment. We'll start to appear here once the service becomes live. In addition, I have settings that I can go through and configure. You'll notice a lot of familiar things from the slide we looked at previously. For example, here I can set up my easy tables or my easy deployed custom API. In addition, I can go ahead and turn on things like the authentication that we discussed. So by default, this is turned off, but if I go ahead and turn it on, you'll see here's those familiar Azure Active Directory, Facebook, Google, Twitter, and Microsoft authentication mechanisms. So we're going to look at deploying an easy table. So we'll start by clicking the easy table option underneath the mobile subsection. And this launches up a blade, and the first thing it's going to tell us is that we need to configure our app to be able to use EasyTable. So once this loads up, we're going to go through that quick initialization process. So here it says enabling mobile extension for your app. This is all automatic, and then it's going to tell us what we need to do to finalize that. So it says need to configure Easy Tables, Easy APIs. Click here to continue. So I'm going to go ahead and click that link. And it's going to tell us that we need to connect a database. So you'll see down here it says you need a database to use Easy Tables. Click here to create one. So I'll go ahead and click this area, which launches a new blade for data connections. And I'm going to click the plus sign for add up at the top so we can add a new data connection. We're going to use a type SQL database, and we're going to click down here to configure the required settings for that database. So I'm going to click to create a new database. And here we're going to give it a name. So I'll just name this Internet of Trees, like we've been doing. Leave this at the SO standard level database size. Give it the default collation. And then I'll click here on server to configure the required settings. So again, I'm going to name the server internetoftrees.database.windows.net. And we'll give this a login. I'll use my name and give this the password. You'll notice that our database is located in the same region as our Azure mobile app service. And this is great. You want to make sure that you do that. That way you don't have to pay ingress, egress fees on data that transpires between the two. And we'll go ahead and click OK. And this should kick off the process of creating our database. So one last thing, I guess we need to make sure we have our connection string configured. And there we go, we'll click OK. And that's it. We can now click OK and our database is now being created. With that step complete, you'll notice that the MS table connection string is now populated as one of our data connections. And we can now back up, and you'll see our Easy Tables menu now states that we do have a data connection. So all we have to do now is click the box to acknowledge that this will overwrite all site contents, since we're going to set this up to use Easy Tables, and then click the Initialize App button. And that's really all there is to it. So with just a few clicks, we were able to set up the Easy Tables for our deployment. And in just a moment, that will show up as a valid complete setting. So we'll just wait for that to finish deployment. And there we have it. The App Service App backend has been initialized, and our Easy Tables are now available for us to create tables for. So I can click up here on the Add section, and we're going to create a table named Data. So I'm going to go ahead and click here for the Name section, and we're going to give this anonymous access. So you'll notice down here I can only allow authenticated access for read, update, destroy, and insert, and on delete, but I'm just going to leave this at anonymous for right now, so there won't be any security measures put on this actual table. So it will accept open authorization, but that's not going to be too big of an issue for this project. And there we have it. The table data has been created. And we can see we have a valid table, no records in it just yet, and it's just sitting there essentially waiting for us to send some data into it from our IoT device. So you'll notice here, before I head on to the next section, if you click on Quick Start over in your settings, this will load up a variety of different samples and example code for connecting your iOS, Android, Windows, or Xamarin, or Cordova app up to your Azure mobile app service. So I can click here on the C# example, and you'll notice perhaps I want to connect to an existing app, and we'll find what's most important in setting up these mobile service clients is knowing the URL of your mobile app service. So you'll see here it gives me that internetoftrees.azurewebsites.net value, and we'll come back to that. That's going to be important, but just know that if you want to connect other devices up to these tables, it's pretty simple, and there are available SDKs to use on platforms that you might be familiar with. While there are SDKs available for your Android, iOS, and Windows platforms, you'll notice that we didn't really have anything there to help us directly connect up our Particle Photon device. But never fear, we do have a community library known as the Azure Mobile App that can be used within the Particle IDE to easily interact with Azure Mobile App services. So you can check out the GitHub repo for this project, and it's pretty simple. Basically, it's just a library for abstracting the Azure Mobile App Service REST API for use with Particle IO devices. So in front of this Easy Table service is this API layer that we can speak to and send commands to over HTTP for writing, storing, and deleting objects into that recently deployed Azure Easy Table. So in this next section, I'm going to assume that you guys have some familiarity with configuring particle devices, because I'm going to go through a very, very rapid setup of taking a device right out of the box and getting it connected to the particle service. So the easiest way that I found to do this, to go from 0 to 60, the fastest way is open up a terminal client. So on Windows, I would suggest PuTTY, and look to see which line that this device is connected on. So I can open up my device manager. And you'll see under Ports Common LPT, I have a Photon device that's being recognized on COM5. So what I'm going to do is type in COM5 under Serial Connection here and set that up to use a speed of 115200, and we'll click Open. And the connection has initiated. I'm going to type the letter I. This will give me the device ID of my particle device. And then I can type W, which will allow me to configure the Wi-Fi access. So I'm just going to type in my SSID, tell it to connect using WPA2, give it my password, and there you have it. The device has now been configured to connect up to my home Wi-Fi network. Very, very fast. Keep in mind, the device has not been claimed yet, so we're going to do that in the next step. So make sure you copy this device ID. So I have that selected. I've got it on my clipboard. I'm going to head on over to Particle and click on the build link. This will bring me to their online IDE. And we'll go ahead and log in. Then over here on the left, you'll see this little target section. I can click on this for devices, and we'll click to add a new device. Then I can paste in that device ID, click claim a device, and there you have it. I'll claim this and name it Internet of Trees. And that's it. That's pretty much the fastest way that I'm aware of to take a Particle device right out of the box, get it connected right up to your Wi-Fi network and claimed in your Particle IDE. So what we're going to do, we're going to start with testing out our device to make sure that it can interact and send data into our Azure Mobile App Service Easy Table. So I'll start by clicking on the Libraries icon down here on the lower left, this little ribbon icon. And under Community Libraries, just simply type in Azure. And you'll see here's the Azure Mobile App Library. So I'll go ahead and click that. And this gives me a series of examples. So you'll see I have the create, read, update, and delete examples. I'm going to go ahead and click the create one and select use this example. And this has now created a new app with the name OneCreate. And I'll just call this Easy Table Test. And all we have to do to configure this, I'll kind of talk about this code, we just have to really change one thing. So you'll see we're expecting a service, and we're looking for the Azure App Service URL. Down here, we need a key. And since we're not using any sort of authentication mechanism, we can go ahead and ignore this. It doesn't really matter what we put in there. And just to show you how this works, we're going to open up a serial line for diagnostic. We'll then configure the Azure Mobile App Service client to connect up to that API that exists in front of those easy tables. We'll connect to a table named data, and we're going to send a JSON payload that looks like this. So it'll have value 1 followed by the value of 1, value 2 with a value of 2, and value 3 with a value of 3. We'll turn on an LED, write publishing data from buffer to AMS into our serial window, then actually send that data using the AMS.create method, calling the table and sending that buffer packet. And then we'll turn the LED off. So this should be pretty simple to set up. Again, all we're going to need is this Azure App Service URL, which we can get from our Internet of Trees mobile app information page. You'll see here where it says URL. I can just hover over this, click to copy, and get that on my clipboard. Then we'll go ahead and paste this into the service URL. I'm just going to remove the HTTP portion. We can click Save. And then I'll click verify to ensure that this code compiles. Code verified. Great work. Excellent. So now I'm going to click the flash button. And we should see our device flash magenta, which means it has received the code. And it's now going to restart and execute the code that we just flashed to it. So using our existing PuTTY connection, I should be able to simply right-click here and say restart. We should be connected, and we'll start to get some of that diagnostic data that we're writing to the serial line back from our device. So here we go. Publishing data from buffer to Azure Mobile Service, and we get a response status of -1. Never fear. Usually when writing the first few tables, you'll get a -1, but we're going to let this try a few times, and we should start to see some 201 responses come back from that service. And there they go. So we sent about three or four messages that resulted in error, and now it is appropriately sending. So let's verify that by jumping into our portal, and we'll click All Settings here. And we should be able to click over here on the Easy Tables section. We can then click on the data table that we created. And there we see 7 records have been successfully published into the table. So This is great news. We've shown that we can very easily deploy a database up into the Azure cloud and connect it up to our Particle device in just a few clicks. So excellent to know that this is working. Keep in mind that the table is enforcing the schema based on the JSON payload it receives. So it's just kind of inferring that when it gets sent over. So you'll see I never manually set up a schema. That value 1, value 2, value 3 is just sort of coming along because that's what it saw. So that's how it set up the schema. It just kind of inferred it. So our next step is getting this device plugged into our existing Internet of Trees platform. So I've got the Internet of Trees device here, or the full-on system. And what I'm going to do is pull out the existing Particle device. And we're just going to replace that with this one once we reprogram it. So let's start by grabbing the appropriate code from our Hackster article. So you can scroll down to the bottom here where this soilmonitor.ino code is. You can click View Raw, which will give you the GitHub gist that you can just copy and paste. So I'll Control A, Control C. And I'm going to go ahead and open up my Particle IDE. Click down here on Code, and we'll create a new app. So I'll call this Internet of Trees. And we'll paste in that code that we just copied. And I'll hit the briefcase over here to save it, just to make sure. And we're going to need to change up a few things in this code to get it to work with our easy tables. So the first thing you'll note is I'm using this library up here, the Azure Mobile Service Library. And that's no longer going to work with the easy tables. That works on older Azure Mobile Services, which, similar in name to Azure Mobile App Services, did require us to create a new library. So I'm going to go ahead and remove that. And we'll click down here on Libraries, and we'll add the Azure Mobile App Library. So I'll click down here and type Azure in the Community Library section, just like before. Click Azure Mobile App. Then click Include an App and select Internet of Trees. And we'll click Add to this app. You'll see it's now added the include up here. And I, for whatever reason, I guess it added that Azure Mobile Service.h back in there since I didn't save. So we'll go ahead and remove that again. I'll click the Save button. And we're also going to need to add the SparkFun WeatherShield library. So similarly, I'm going to click on Libraries. We can type in Weather. It's usually the easiest way to find this one. Click on the SparkFun Photon example that pops up, and we'll click Include an App, then select Internet of Trees again and add to the app. One issue here, you do get a bit of a chicken egg problem since the IDE always adds the include line. Whenever you're distributing code with includes in it, you're always going to get that duplicate. So I can go ahead and remove that duplicate entry there, and we'll go ahead and click Save. So a few things we need to configure. Just like before, I need to give this service the mobile service URL. So I'm going to go ahead back to my Azure portal and copy that link just like we did before and pipe that in for my service. Remove the HTTP prefix. And I do need to change this Azure mobile service to be an Azure mobile app object. So let's click Save and verify. Make sure that our code compiles down here. And it says code verified. Great work. So before we send this over, let's kind of walk through the code, give you a little bit of an understanding on how it works. And we'll flash it over to our device and swap out the Particle Photon that's currently in there that's actually operating on the older Azure Mobile Services to use our new code in our Azure Mobile App Service Easy table that we just deployed. So you'll see we've got the similar configuration from our previous example. We're using a table called Data. And down here, I'm setting up the configuration. So I've got this location name that I'm using Paul's Backyard and some zones. I'm going to change one of these. You'll see the zones are orange, lemon, yard, bottle brush, fig, and peach. The yard area is now actually a grapefruit tree, so I'll go ahead and update that. Down here, you'll see more. These are basically just initialized variables that are used later on in creating the weather sensor object. Of importance is this report and sleep interval in seconds. So the device, in order to maximize the battery life, I only have it take readings every 30 minutes. And while it's sleeping, it's actually only drawing 346 microamps of power. And the way that I'm doing that is by calling this method down here, this system.sleep, sleep mode deep, and then you give it seconds to sleep. And that is actually putting it in that low powered state, which gives me the ability to run this device for almost a month on a single battery charge. So it's really, really important to pay attention to that. Then I've got this max Azure payload size. This is a limitation on the particle side in that it can't send messages that are too large due to the available onboard memory. So just like a typical Arduino program, we go through our setup where I'm configuring my pins for the sensors to be inputs, and I'm configuring the weather sensor. This is just some code, some boilerplate code used to configure that for the pressure sensor. And down here, you'll see the meat and potatoes. We go through, we read saturation sensor data, read weather data, and then we sleep for 30 minutes. That's it. That's how this works. Another little trick I'm doing here is this digital write on the D7 pin. This allows me to control when voltage is drawn through the attached sensors. So voltage is only drawn when that D7 LED is turned on. So this, again, allows me to increase the battery life so that those sensors aren't drawing power when perhaps the particle device might be asleep itself. So now nothing is using any power whenever it goes to sleep, and I'm maximizing that usage. One other trick that you might find important, the read saturation sensor data is pretty normal. I'm storing all that data into an array. The read weather sensor data is also very simple. I'm just kind of going through, grabbing those temperatures, reading them. Down here in the publish data section, you'll see that I'm actually batching up this payload into a single payload. So I could write a row, say, for each zone, so each tree would get a row in the table. But I found not only was that not really optimal, it drained power to do that. So each web request would significantly reduce the battery life of the device. So by consolidating this into a single payload, which is what this method essentially does, you'll see calls that AMS.create method only one time down here. It does save me on battery life as well. So let's test this out. We're going to need to change a few things. Of course, we don't want our device to go to sleep for 30 minutes after we flash it, because it'll be hard to kind of wake it up and reflash it again. So let's go ahead and comment this line out, the system.sleep, and change that delay to be about 5 seconds before. And if all that looks good, I think we can go ahead and flash this. So let's verify that everything's still good to go. And it looks like it, so we'll click the flash button. And then we can go ahead and open up our PuTTY terminal again. And let's see if we're getting the appropriate data back from this device. So I'm going to go ahead and restart the session. You'll see I'm getting that no device is detected. It's because it's not seeing, since the device is not plugged into that SparkFun weather shield, it's not getting that. So although data is coming back, this is erroneous since it's not connected to the sensors and it is not connected to that SparkFun weather shield. But this looks pretty good to me. In fact, if we were to go ahead and look in our easy table data, we can verify that it is in fact publishing in there. So I'll go ahead and click on Easy Tables. Select Data. And you'll see I've got a bunch more columns before. But notice that my data is now kind of amalgamated. It's combined with that previous data that we use in the create sample. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do a little trick to reset the schema of this table. We'll just go ahead and delete the entire thing. So delete the table data, and then we'll just recreate it again. So we'll probably get a few errors in our window here while that recreation is waiting to go through. But very simply, now I can kind of clean up that schema. Excellent. And now let's do one more test. Let's actually plug it into the Internet of Trees circuit. So I'm going to go ahead and plug this in here, and it should start drawing power directly from the battery. So you'll see there's the device launching up. Let's click into our data table, and let's see. You'll see there's my sensors lighting up as they're taking readings. And let's see if after we plugged it in there, if we don't get some more realistic values. Of course, the saturation sensors probably won't be correct until we connect up the junction wire. But let's see what we've got here. Of course, I can't monitor on that serial port since I'm not connected to it. So let's just refresh our data table and see if we're getting some better results. And there we go. We can see we're no longer getting those negative values for the temperature and pressure readings. Those looked legitimate. So now really the only thing to go do is flash this back to the original code that puts it to sleep for 30 minutes. So we'll go down here and uncomment that line that we set earlier. And let's go set the delay back to 1 second like it was previously. Verify our code. And let's flash it to the device. And there we go. We got the magenta light, so it is flashing successfully. And it's going to go ahead and take its reading, and it should just go to sleep. So this will be really, really quick if you're kind of watching over here. The sensor should light up for just a moment, taking its readings. And now it's going to go into that low power state. So while it's doing that, I'm going to go ahead and truncate our table. So I'll hit this clear table so we only have valid data. And I'm going to go put this back into that conduit junction in the backyard so we can get some real data. And this should be interesting because Houston, over the last few days, we've actually gotten record rainfall out here, like something like 12 inches of rain. So I'm excited to go put this out there and perhaps catch the storm that's coming later today. When we place this out there. So the good news is everything seems to be working. We'll go ahead and place this outside, start capturing a real data, and then after a few hours of gathering that data, we'll come back and connect that into our Power BI dashboard so we can visualize that data using some drag and drop charts. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few hours after I get some data to work with. All right, so we've been running the Internet of Trees sensor overnight for about 19 hours now, and we have exactly what we're looking for. We have data. So 38 records have come in so far. So let's go ahead and build out a visualization that can make this data useful to us, and we can analyze perhaps some patterns and trends in the data that has come through so far. So we'll start off by heading over to Power BI. This is a Microsoft tool that allows you to aggregate large data sets rather easily and build custom user interfaces that can then be controlled using your internal authentication mechanisms that you might have company-wide. So due to this, it does not allow you to just log in with a regular email address. So you can't just like use your Gmail or Hotmail. You do have to have an organizational account. If you are curious about how to set one of those up, you can check out the content here at the link below where Brett Statham will walk you through signing up for one of those organizational accounts to use with Power BI. So with that said, let's head on over to our logged in service. And this is my Power BI dashboard. You'll see I don't really have anything available here just yet, but we get a nice little clue on how we might go about doing that. We can go ahead and click here on Get Data down in the bottom left corner. And this should launch us up into a selector that tells us where would you like to get your data from. So we can use a content pack library or import from some other services. So I know that we have our data stored up in a database, a SQL database in Microsoft Azure. So let's go ahead and click the databases link. And you'll see here it asks me very specifically, would you like to import an Azure SQL database? So I'll select that. And we'll click the connect button. Now, the first thing it's going to ask me is where the server is, and then we need to tell it the database to connect to. So similarly to how we were finding the URL, we're going to go head back over to our dashboard in Microsoft Azure. So I'll go ahead and get right to my dashboard, and then let's expand out the hamburger menu here on the left. And if you look down here, there's a section for SQL databases. We'll go ahead and click that. And there's my Internet of Trees database server. So we'll go ahead and click that. And once I get onto the details screen for this particular resource, it should give me that URL. We can go ahead and paste that into the configuration window. So here we go. It's internetoftrees.database.windows.net. So we'll go ahead and type that into our Power BI. And the database we'll be connecting to, as we named when we set it up, is Internet of Trees. So go ahead and click Next. And we'll then use the username and password that was set up during the configuration of that database. So once you've done that, it will go ahead and import your data into your Power BI dashboard. And there we have it. Our Internet of Trees data set has arrived. So we can go ahead and click on that now. And this will launch an editor that will allow us to create a report. So what I'm going to do first is show you over here on the right these fields. You'll see these are all coming from that data table that we had set up previously in Azure. And here's our familiar columns, the barometric temperature, bottle brush measurements, the fig, grapefruit humidity, lemon tree measurements, orange, the pressure in pascals, peach measurements, and the temperature in Fahrenheit. So let's start by building out a very easy visualization. You'll see over here, I can choose from various different graphs. I'm going to go ahead and select this one, this bar chart. And when I click that, it brings the chart over into my Power BI editor window here. And I can then start to click on the columns that I would like to add for perusal. So let's go ahead and start with we'll click to add the orange tree, the lemon tree, the grapefruit, the bottle brush, the fig, and the peach. Then I'd like to make this useful, so I can go ahead and click down here on the value section and change these to report the average value. So currently it's actually giving me the sum of all the values that it's read. Let's go ahead and just average those out and get the current average reading. And there you have it. I can now see at a glance the averages of the sensors that we have employed. Looks like I've got a little bit of an error with the orange tree sensor. Looks like I'm reading kind of low. We'll just go ahead and disregard that for now. But you can see the other values are coming in and we're getting those average values. I can hover over them and see exactly what the current average is since we've laid out our sensor. So go ahead and shrink this window just a little bit. Let's go ahead and add another interesting graph, one where we can plot against a line. So I'm going to deselect the current graph we were working on and select this one. This is going to be a bar chart with a line. So we'll click that, and it goes ahead and creates it. And I'll go ahead and expand this window size. And again, we'll go ahead and add in those columns. So I'll add the orange, lemon, grapefruit, bottle brush, fig, and peach. And we'll then make sure, I apologize, I'm going to go ahead and change that. This was showing those bar charts stacked. If I click this one over to the right, it's actually going to show them laid out individually. And then you'll see down here I have the line values. I'm going to go ahead and drag the temperature field over here. So this will plot that temperature. And what we'll do is change out, we've got the, currently we're reporting the sum. Actually, that'll be okay, because what we're going to do next is come up here to the shared access, and I'm going to drag over the time. So this will plot all of these values against the time. So we drag this here, and then I can expand this out. Oh, yikes. And, apologies, it looks like I do want that original chart, so I'm going to click back over here on this left one. And as you can see, it's really easy to kind of change between visualizations. And there we have it. This is the plot of the soil saturation levels in those trees, along with a value for the temperature. So that was pretty easy to set up. You can see when I laid this out, it was in the daytime. So when we first configured our Internet of Trees device and I put it outside, we had some sunlight, and you can see that slowly start to taper off. And it's currently morning, it's about 10 a.m. here in Houston, so you can see that value starting to rise here. So this is excellent. You can see there a plot of the temperature against those soil saturation monitor readings. And now let's go ahead and add another field here. We can use, let's grab this one, this like funnel looking chart here. And I'll go ahead and give this some space. And we'll go do something very similar to the first chart that we did. I'll go ahead and click to add the fields, the appropriate fields. So let's go ahead and add the orange, lemon, grapefruit, bottle brush, fig, and peach. And then I'll come in here and select to average these out. So we'll just get another view of those averages. Just we're doing pretty much the same thing we did before. We're just kind of looking at it in a different visualization. And there you have it. I can see at a glance those values without having to hover over. So I can see like we're averaging about a 0.57 reading with currently our fig having about less saturation, a little bit less. It's got 0.44 compared to some of those other values that we've seen. So excellent. And finally, if we're going to completely reproduce the report screen from the Internet of Trees project, we'll go ahead and select one more. This is just going to be a multi-word row. So I'll go ahead and click this one. And we're going to create two of these. And this way we can very easily look at the min and max of those readings. So again, I'm going to go ahead and add my columns. So we'll start with the orange, lemon, grapefruit, bottle brush, fig, and peach. And we'll change these fields. We'll go ahead and set these to the minimum for right now. And there you have it. We are now reporting all those minimums here. So this can give you a quick view, you know, perhaps if you want to set up some sort of an alarm, you know, to signify that one of the trees has fallen below something, you could do that because you can see now what that actual minimum is. And similarly, we could set up a maximum doing almost the same thing. So we'll go ahead and select that multi-row visualization again. And we'll set this one up very similarly. Oh, yikes. I need to make sure I'm not selected on a previous visualization. There we go. And brought that in. Very similar. We'll click to add the orange, lemon, grapefruit, bottle brush, fig, and peach. Then we can go through here and set these up to report the maximums. And finally, perhaps we just want to label our report that we're creating here. So I'm going to go ahead and shrink these down just a little bit so I can make room for our next section. And let's click up here to add a text box. And you can select your various from various different fonts here. We'll go ahead and select this. Oh, I lost it. That's okay. Here we go. Pull it back up. And let's go ahead and type in Internet of Trees. And we can go ahead and let's set that maybe bold and to a higher font size. Here we go. And we'll kind of pop this up here in the center. Bring our graph back up. And there you have it. We have a living report. And as data comes into our database, this report can actually update. First thing we need to do, though, is save it. So we'll click here, File, and we'll say Save a Copy of this report. And again, I'll use the Internet of Trees naming convention. And we'll click Save. And this now shows up in my reports here. So you'll see Report Saved. And one of the really cool things that you can do with this is now that you have a report saved up into the Power BI online dashboard, you can actually open up any of the client applications which are available for Android, iOS, or Windows. So I'll go ahead and open up the Windows application So here's the Microsoft Power BI. And this is in a workspace called Internet of Trees, so I'll select that. And here's our report that we just created. And there it launches up. So similarly, if I wanted to view this on a mobile device, again, I could download those clients from my particular platform and see this data just as it is in our report online, as well as in the client that you're seeing right now. So this is really awesome stuff. As you'll see, it was pretty intuitive to kind of take that data and get it into Power BI. And we really got our user interface built up in no time flat, which is awesome. So if you're ever working on some sort of a project where, you know, maybe you want to gather data and you want to visualize it really easy, you now have in your tool set to be able to take one of these particle photon devices, get that easily connected up to one of those Microsoft Azure Mobile App Service Easy tables, and then pipe that data into Power BI for some visualizations and charting. And the great thing about that being that you can view this data on a variety of devices. So that's really all we have for today. I hope that this information serves you guys very well and is useful to you in your projects and maker hacks that you guys are working on. So until next time, keep on working on these awesome maker projects and have a happy time hacking.